Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about some draft stuff, talk about the coaching carousel, and a whole bunch more. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the cue.
On the blow block. He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Oh, it's Monday. I had to think about that for a second. Getting these little teasers and tidbits we're getting from media sessions with the Cavs are really getting the juices flowing on being excited to having them back, and the draft combine happening at the same time has been a lot of fun, and it's just, you know, it's been a busy, productive Monday in terms of NBA news. How are you doing?
Good. Very caught off guard by the big news.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
I guess I do want to start there, because I was thinking to kind of make this more of a Cavs thing and not like two Cavs people like talking about the Ty Lue again, which we'll probably talk about Ty. I think for me, when I think about coaching in the NBA, I think there are certain instances, LeBron, Kawhi, etc., where like you're probably going to churn through guys at a higher rate, right? Like, it is just possible that you're going to maybe run through coaches a little quicker. I don't necessarily know if the shelf life, history shows us that the shelf life for coaches is not something that can be Greg Popovich or Eric Spoelstra more often than not.
Rick Carlisle.
Yeah,
the examples are few and far between.
I think if I'm the Cavs, that's your goal, and I think, you know, it takes patient ownership. It takes a lot of factors that I don't always know if the Cavs, like, have that. But I do think that is kind of the goal, and I think the Cavs are just not going to, I think, more likely to not be in a situation like the Clippers, where, like, you make a fire like that. If they get someone like Doc Rivers, like, that guy is going to be around for a long time. Like, maybe that's JB, maybe that's whomever, you know, a theoretical successor is in several years. But I think that's they're just a situation where I think you're going to just have, the goal is to be as stable as possible. And I think head coaching stability is important if you can have it in the right circumstances.
Yeah, like you said, it really depends on the it's circumstantial for sure. LeBron being a great example of this, with Spoelstra being an even better example of this, because I don't know if people remember this, but when LeBron first went to Miami in 2010, he wanted to get Spoelstra fired and have Pat Riley step down and be the head coach again.
He was
very wrong. Because Shaq did the same thing, actually, with Stan Van Gundy, and Ryle stepped down and helped the Shaq-Dwayne Wade Heat win that title in 2006. It's a little controversial, but that's 14 years ago. I think we're all moved past at this point. But, that's a good example. Kawhi is interesting, the fact that if you aren't a fit, he will find a way to get out of the situation. Popovich, again, is a good example of a coach with a lot of longevity. He is the longest tenured coach currently in the NBA, and, you know, could probably end up being the longest tenured coach in NBA history by the time he hangs it up. But there's a lot of hurt feelings between both Kawhi and the Spurs about his handling of his injury and how they were criticizing him both publicly and privately, and like it led to him going to Toronto. And I still think Nick Nurse is the best coach that he has played for to this point. If Ty does get the Clippers job, it's a different situation entirely, because, you know, Ty coached the pants off Nick Nurse when he was running Toronto's offense, and Dwayne Casey was still running the show. So I think Ty is the better coach between the two. I mean, it is circumstantial, of course. I think Nick Nurse is a phenomenal coach, a top five coach in the league.
I think they have very different strengths. Is kind of, I was thinking about this.
You were tweeting about this. That's why I wanted to try and bring it up.
Yeah. I think, like, when you look at Ty, like, I think he has very clear strengths, and I think he has some weaknesses. And I think what I think Nick Nurse is more inventive, but I think Ty has like something about him that where he gets a lot out of situations, and he's extremely pragmatic. We also here, the other thing I think with Ty, and I think a lot of coaches, and I feel this way about JB to some extent, frankly, is that like circumstances so much shape what a coach gets to do, gets to try, right? Coaching LeBron is like a very specific kind of job, and I think if he gets the...
Oh, it's a resume builder. Well, it gets you a ton of clout.
I don't even mean that. I just mean in terms of what you're going to be able to do, the creativity you're going to do. Like Nick Nurse is kind of was the messiah in the organization in Toronto, kind of allows Nick Nurse to come in and do some of the stuff he did, but Kawhi is also just like, he's Kawhi. I think if you put Ty in... And maybe he doesn't want this kind of job. I don't get the sense that, like, based on where he's been linked to, like, I don't think his preference of job is the kind of job that would allow him to do this. Yeah. But I think that if you got put him in a situation, like, if he'd stayed with the Cavs, if he went to pick another team that isn't, like, a loaded with stars at the top already and kind of is in a win-now mode, I think you might see him do some different stuff. I think some of these jobs are so circumstantial in what you're able to have the flexibility to do. And when I think, and I think, you know, like Brad Stevens has evolved over time. Nick Nurse did different stuff this year than he did last year. Like it just
has Brad Stevens evolved over time.
So a little bit. I mean, he's evolved more than Bud.
I think Bud and Brad Stevens are both in the same mill where they're both
are they the Spider-Man meme for coaches?
They could be, or, you know, they're just really good regular season coaches, and maybe they're good at maximizing the potential of non-star caliber players, but they don't have the edge to make adjustments or push those star players over the edge like a Tyronn Lue does. Because Tyronn Lue is, he did a lot of experimenting and tinkering in the regular season with the Cavs, as we both know, Chris.
He lays the foundation for the playoffs. That's a big part of his bit.
Yeah, like, but when you look at Stevens and Bud, they're so focused and hyper-focused on regular season success as well, and, like, you know, that gives people a false sense of security going into the playoffs that they have the ability to go all the way. But as soon as they reach a modicum of adversity, the Celtics and the Bucks have both folded like a cheap suit in rain. Like, I don't know. I'm a big Ty guy. Dress wise and Ty Lue wise, but it's interesting, like you said, like I don't know if if he took the Clippers job, I think he would have that flexibility that Nick Nurse had. I think he'd have the flexibility he had in Cleveland, but I was told, because immediately as soon as they almost immediately after they announced the Doc hiring, I got a text from a source with close to Ty and the Clippers situation as a whole, where he is the front runner internally to get the job with LA because Paul George and Kawhi really like Ty and he's respected in the locker room a lot, and similar situation to Cleveland, but Ty is hyper hesitant to take the job, just like he did with David Blatt, where, you know, Doc had to be the one who talked him into taking the job. He doesn't want to do wrong by Doc Rivers because Doc Rivers is his mentor coaching. And so I don't know. We talked about this before, but I think Philly's going to go with Mike D'Antoni, and then things are going to get weird there. And Indiana could very well go with Chauncey Billups.
Let's get weird. Give me weird.
Yeah, no, I am too, but I still think Ty Lue deserves a job, but I just don't, this is just another thing we talked about last time when we talked about Ty, like, maybe he waits it out and sees what happens, but I think the Clippers makes the most sense for him. I just don't know if he's going to take it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's also the thing where, you know, it's said, like, the Mark Stein has support for the Houston job, although, like, Sam Cassell's been linked there, Jeff Van Gundy has been linked there. Like, there's definitely a lot out there. I guess having my point, and kind of to Cavsify this in a direct way, True Serum would be really interesting in a lot of this, but when you think about the Cavs, how they ended up where they did, kind of what they're kind of preaching right now, I think it's... I will be really curious to see what kind of, let's say, flexibility they give to let JB just kind of get time to figure this out. Because it's not like Dan Gilbert is not a patient owner. That is not what he is. That has never been what he is. You know, what he does, like, is JB tied to Kobe in some ways? Like, there's a lot of questions I don't feel like we know yet. I want to see the Cavs give JB actual, if they're the way they're selling him in particular, and as like a culture setter, as the right guy for the job, all these things that they say about him, if he's actually that and you believe in him that much, give him time to actually do this correctly and don't like rush expectations on him. I that's a big question for me about how the Cavs just kind of operate as an organization, frankly.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree wholeheartedly. It's interesting to see how the Cavs will handle this, but after we had JB on the show and, you know, just kind of doing some cursory searching afterwards, I do think he and Kobe are strong presences in this Cavaliers organization, and I think they're also, you know, tied to each other. So if JB goes down, I think Kobe goes with him, and if Kobe goes down, I think JB goes with him, because if you put in a new front office, they're going to put their new coach in place, or if this is the guy Kobe Altman has tapped as his coach going forward, because he said more or less that at his media availability over the weekend, where he was more than confident in JB's ability as a coach. And I think having that in his back pocket is going to give JB the confidence to do some weird things, like Larry Nance at the three, or playing Kevin Porter at the one is a thing I'm hearing is being floated around now a little bit more, like doing some of the creative stuff that he wasn't able to do in Houston and Memphis because he was given such a short leash in both situations. I think he was an interim coach for both and then temporarily the permanent coach in Memphis given the axe.
This is like my broader point. It's like I think these are such circumstantial things. You know, like
no, they are, like so and I think the Cavs are finally going to give JB the circumstance and ability to flex his muscles a little bit and maybe show that people were down on him for far too long just because of he couldn't control the circumstances.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, Evan, tell everyone about some of our great sponsors here.
Well, if Doc Rivers, you know, is on the move and he does take the Houston job, he might need to load up the family van and get it all packed up and ready to move, and he might need to fix it up with help from our friends at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box and they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com. And speaking of Doc and his impending move, he's going to be heading into a new town. He might not have time to do some grocery shopping. And Chris, you know where he can get some quick grub at while he's, you know, settling in?
Our friend at DoorDash.
That is correct. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. You want Chinese, they want pizza, and someone is craving Froyo. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. Support your favorite restaurants on DoorDash. You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door in the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Baker Mayfield fan favorite, the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
All right, we're back here, Evan. I'm Chris Manning. He's Evan Damerill. Evan, where do you want to go next?
You know, after, you know, a great meal from our friends at DoorDash and, you know, safely being able to transport thanks to our friends at rockauto.com. Let's talk about the Celtics flaming out again in the playoffs. That's why I questioned Brad's modicum, but it became clear that Boston has a problem at center, and wouldn't you know it, Cleveland has a center that might be available almost $29 million expired.
I'm not even going to lie. I got really confused for a second about where you were going, and then I was like, oh, that's right. That's what we were going to talk about. So you tweeted this. I tweeted this. You accused me of stealing it. I did it better. Just kidding. But when
I called you a goddamn thief, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. Evan, when you look at this, when you look at kind of the ideas that are floating around in this kind of realm, would you, if you're the new Cavs GM and Danny Ainge called you, would you do this straight up?
I'd hang up.
Okay, why?
Dealing with Danny Ainge is like dealing with him and Sam Presti feel like two hard negotiators that are going to hose you long term. Go ahead.
Yeah.
But I pick up the, it's all about the tactic, Chris. I look young and inexperienced. You don't answer the first call, so they get a little desperate. You answer like the third or fourth call once you know that they're about to eat out of your hands, and then you lowball the hell out of them. So lowball Danny Ainge, Chris.
Well, this is.
I can hear the frustration in your voice right now. It's so funny.
If you could see my face right now, I don't have video on. I wouldn't do it. And
you wouldn't swap Drummond for Hayward straight up?
No. I don't really see the point of it. I can say that there's not like a lot of not like he understood it, but I don't think like it ever sat well that like the Cavs just like left him hanging a ways back.
It's not my fault he sent damaged goods for the best point guard in Cavaliers history. Wow, proceed.
I don't know what it accomplishes, because you're bringing in the guy who, yes, like it might make Kevin Love happy. Yes, it might make Larry Nance.
Will it though? Will it make Kevin happy? Because
it's a veteran, I guess, is my point. Right?
That's true.
Okay, so this is a 30-year-old Gordon Hayward. He will be 31 sometime next season. I don't really know what he is after this injury. And he got hurt again in the playoffs. I didn't think he was particular. I didn't really see what people were kind of implying that he was like effective in when he came back. I didn't really.
He wasn't.
Totally see that. I think he's interesting if he's really healthy. He's not been, I mean, not no fault of his own really, but he hasn't been nearly the same player that he was when he was in his lone.
When his career did a full 180.
Literally in Cleveland, too.
Yeah. Life is funny, man. I'm just making puns. Go ahead.
If you're the Cavs and you're trading a 27-year-old center, who, like, you and I don't really think even really wants to be here fully. Like, there's not, like, a love of
no,
this.
I don't think Andre wants to be here, and I think the situation is getting a little awkward.
Yeah.
Because well, I just feel like Colin Sexton was calling him out, just to circle back to that again.
Okay,
go ahead.
Let's put a pin in that. What does trading for Gordon Hayward accomplish other than like adding another wing /4 that you need to play? And then you also you have to find minutes for him, for Porter, for Windler, for the rookie you're probably going to draft. There's just like not a, and like maybe you're getting a center at that point. You and I don't think that like the vast majority of the front office loves a Kungu. So like, it's not like you're going to draft him and give him the minutes that would have gone to Andre or at least a chunk of them. Like, there's just a lot of, like, I don't know the point of this kind of thing, unless you're going to get him and then flip him somewhere else onto, like, a better team. I don't know if there's, like, there's not even, like, a lot of great contracts like that to kind of just flip. I guess it could be anything. I if you want to do it, I don't think it's, like, I would rather have Hayward in a vacuum than Drummond if I was the Cavs, just for a couple different reasons, I think. But I'm not, like, in love with just doing that. The version of it that I would be more interested in, if you could like pick up picks and or like an interesting-ish young player by being a third team in a deal where Hayward goes somewhere, Drummond goes somewhere, and then you're like the connecting piece to kind of take on some money or something like that.
We'll talk about this in a second about adding a third team to the fold, because I think you presented an interesting hypothetical where Victor Oladipo ends up in Boston when you were texting me about it earlier, and I kind of rolled my eyes at it, but now I'm warming up to it.
You didn't roll my eyes when I sent you the screen cap of this. That I'm gonna.
No, I didn't send you the.
You sent me the emoji of like one eyebrow raised, like looking to be confused, and then said, "Get us Depot," which is also something I would not do.
Did I say that?
You did in GChat.
Oh, it wasn't GChat. I thought you texted me it. I'm gonna give my reasonings on why this trade is going to happen. One, Andre Drummond is clearly not long for Cleveland. I think if you can read the tea leaves of the greater situation, I think he is going to be traded by the deadline at the absolute latest, or he's just going to walk into free agency, because I just don't think an extension realistically is going to happen between the Cavs and Drummond from what I have heard. Two, let's say, because of what Wasserman has reported for Bleacher Report, that teams are, you know, starting to fall in love with Onyeka Okongwu because they see what Bam Adebayo is doing, and like, oh shit, there's someone like that in the draft this year in Okongwu, and he could jump up high. And LaMelo Ball being the locked-in number one pick for the Timberwolves is an interesting development, and the Warriors, you know, kind of considering everybody with the second pick is an interesting development. So there's a realistic scenario where James Wiseman, who the Cavs are extremely high on, could slide to them at five, and then the Cavs end up taking him. I think that makes Drummond not long for Cleveland either. And then, like you said, it does get a little awkward, it does get a little clunky if you bring in Hayward, but it does alter Cleveland's draft strategy then if they drafted Wiseman, where they bring in Hayward, he can play the 3-4, Nance can play the 4-3, Kevin Porter Jr. can play the 2 and the 3, but they predominantly view him as a 2. Dylan Windler can play the 2 and the 3, and he shared with me he can play a small ball 4 if, you know, he can weigh more than 200 pounds. It's a little bit clunky, it's a little bit awkward, it makes things a little bit more muddled, but I don't think Kevin Porter is going to be starting right away. I think your starting backcourt is Colin Sexton and Darius Garland going forward next year. And joining them would be Jetty, but if you traded for Hayward, it'd be Hayward. Then it'd be Hayward and Love. And then here's the real best part of it all, because they have his bird rights still. The Cavs can bring back Tristan Thompson on a 2 to 3 year deal where he makes $9 to $10 million annually, I think is a fair offer. And I think that's something Tristan may sign just due to the uncertainty of what free agency is going to hold, you know, post this pandemic riddled season. In my opinion, Boston is at their best when they play Kemba Walker at the 1, Marcus Smart at the 2, Jaylen Brown at the 3, Jason Tatum at the 4, and then there's a huge hole at the 5, because I know like some NBA scout told The Athletic that Daniel Theis was going to, you know, lock up Bam Adebayo, and I chuckle at that. But Drummond has his lumps, but I think if you put him in a role where he's so minimized, where he's just asked to play defense and rebound, I think he'd be huge for Boston. Would it suck the Cavs could turn Boston to a title contender possibly again? Yeah, but Gordon Hayward makes a lot more sense for this roster than having Andre Drummond does, and I'd rather have Tristan Thompson and Gordon Hayward here than Andre Drummond. And I mean, I like the wing players, but if they're able to get like Wiseman or Okongwu, I think I'd be a lot happier with that as well.
I would still probably take a wing, because frankly, just because like
that's also
Gordon
true.
Hayward like, is probably then a 1 year rental.
Oh, he's a 1 year rental, and if the Cavs took a wing, that also makes sense. You could take a Corey, you could take Vassell, you could take Avia if he becomes available as well, but it's just a weird situation, man. And let's bring in the other topic, or we could, you know, cut short here.
Yeah, we should take a break. Segment.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a little break here. Catch my breath. I want to let you guys know about one other great sponsor in the network, and that's OhioVersusEveryone.com. This is a site that launched August 1st. OhioVersusEveryone.com. The site covers all Ohio sports and pop culture. They have in-depth, interesting articles about the Cavs, Browns, Indians, the Reds, the Bengals, the Buckeyes, and more. If you go to their site right now, I was just reading some stuff about Joe Burrow, because as a OU alum, I claim Joe Burrow, and you know, Baker is what it is. Also a really good piece by John McCaffrey about the early impact of one Harrison Bryant. So go check that stuff out. It's all your favorite teams all in one site, and because they cover all the teams, they only bring you the best, most interesting topics. Check them out. Again, it's OhioVersusEveryone.com. That's OhioVersusEveryone.com. That's VS versus. All right, Evan. We're back. Mm-hmm.
What's up? What's up?
What's up? What's up? Let's talk about the draft. Reporting out there via Jonathan Wasserman of Bleach Report that the Wolves, if they can't trade down, are going to likely take LaMelo. that is, and then you, we'll talk about this more later in the week on a drafty kind of focused episode, but, you know, we're in a position where the Cavs are going to have some interesting choices, it seems like, at their fifth pick overall for the second year in a row. Mm-hmm. And, but LaMelo at one is, it sets an interesting tone for the rest of the draft.
No, it absolutely does set an interesting tone. And Chris, I'm a little hurt we're sending this Gordon Hayward conversation so soon. But, yeah, no, it does set an interesting tone for the remainder of the draft. I do think Cleveland is in an interesting position at five where there might be a few more options than we initially thought at the fifth overall pick with, like, you know, like I said, James Wiseman being the big one. And let's say the Cavs really like them some upside when it comes to what James Wiseman brings to the table, and maybe they are able to minimize his role as what they want Andre Drummond to be, as a rebounder and rib runner, and slowly but surely, you know, expand his game as he grows and develops with his young core. I'd be okay with it at the fifth pick. How about you?
I would too. I think for me, I still think Okoro was the leading candidate at that fifth pick.
Oh, I agree. I really like what Okoro brings to the table. I really like what Vassell brings to the table in terms of what the Cavs need if you took this current roster, assuming Drummond is still here. But heading into the draft this year, many moons ago, because Killian Hayes shared, like, yeah, the draft's supposed to happen in like June or July, and we're in September, and it still hasn't happened. But James Wiseman was the odds-on favorite to be the first pick of the draft. LaMelo, you know, kind of nipping at his ankles a little bit. Now, LaMelo is the first pick, and James Wiseman could very well slide because of, like I said, Bam Adebayo playing really well, and they see that Onyeka Okongwu projects to be a Bam-like player, so that might hurt James' chances of being the first big guy off the board as well. And Chris and I have done some sleuthing on our own, and we've said on the show numerous times now that the Cavs really like James Wiseman and they really like his potential. And I think if he's there at four, five, the Cavs are going to take him over any of the wings that we have gushed over the last couple weeks.
I think it's possible. I wouldn't say it's like a lock that that would happen, but I think
I feel more comfortable saying that than they would take a wing at that position.
If Wiseman's there, yeah. I think Wiseman,
yeah.
But I don't know if he's getting to five. It would be surprising to me if he did.
Well,
it's just a weird draft, Evan. It's just weird.
It is
a weird
draft. Let's do a quick rundown. Let's say LaMelo's first to the Wolves at number two, Golden State, assuming they don't trade. I feel like they take Avia, or they would take Okongwu, or they would take Okoro. I feel like a wing is a bigger need for Golden State too.
Yeah, they're talking about playing Wiggins at the four. I think you could see Topin or Avdija too.
Yeah, that makes sense. Then you go to three. I think Charlotte is so desperate they're going to take who talent physically talent wise. Anthony Edwards would go three to Charlotte, but that's a spot for James Wiseman. If James Wiseman isn't picked by Charlotte, I think he could skip by Chicago because Chicago has way too many big guys, and I think Wendell Carter is a better prospect at the moment just from what he brings to the table. And then that leaves Cleveland, and I think if James Wiseman gets past Charlotte, I think he'll slide right into the Cavs' lap, and I think the Cavs will take him at that point.
I think that's very fair. Very fair. It's going to be really interesting. I wouldn't do it.
Trey's gone.
You know, my preferences are pretty clear. Like, I would just take the wing.
Yeah, no, for a team that is so starved on the perimeter, I know Dylan Windler's coming back. I know Alphonso McKinney will likely be on the opening night roster. I know there will be some options, but the Cavs need to upgrade that position in the worst way possible.
Yeah, they need a real lockdown defender. Like, they need some stuff.
Okoro is exactly that, which is just absolutely wild to think. And after becoming enamored with Isaac Okoro's game, I could watch him slip away from me. And he's going to look really good on another. I mean, Jarrett Culver, I feel like I was wrong on a little bit. Maybe it's just because Minnesota is such a weird situation right now, but Okoro, I feel a lot more safe, and it's like just watching his defensive highlights and saying, like, okay, he may be absolute garbage offensively, but like, he will last in this league because he's an absolute pit bull on defense.
Yeah, I could use the draft now, and we're like five weeks away. I don't even know, but I'm overweighting.
We are 1 month plus 1 week away as of the airing of this episode from the draft, I believe. Is it November 6th, or am I wrong?
It's next month. That's all I know. next month, because we're recording this in
September. Yeah, it's November 18th. So after the election, we may have to drown our sorrows because of the results.
Evan,
that's a lot more to unpack there. But I think that's a good stopping point for us today.
When we get to fascism, we gotta go.
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh about that, because there's a lot of stuff going on.
Laugh through the pain. You just laugh through the pain, man. I get it.
Yeah, anyway.
You always thought your life was a tragedy. Turns out okay. It was just a comedy.
If you could see, my brain is now broken. I'm the Scott Pilgrim panel where like his brain cracks.
Yeah.
That's me right now.
I feel that.
Yeah. All right, Evan, send us out.
I tweeted this while Chris was getting set up.
It's just a long con to make the first Joker joke in like 9 weeks.
It was a long con. No, I didn't tweet a Joker joke. Going forward, starting this week and every week going forward, for those of you who are regulars at WKYC's website, Chris and I will be posting. It'll be available in audio formats on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, but it'll also be available. A special episode each week will be available in video format on WKYC's website starting this week and every week going forward. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I'm getting a haircut and trimming the old beard and pick up my suit from the cleaners and bought a green screen and everything. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
I now claim Ben Oxrod as a coworker, even though that's not technically true. So suck it, Ben. Mm-hmm. We're now coworkers.
Here, I can tweet it at Ben after we're done. But no, as always, guys, thank you for listening. Please check out the episode Chris did with Angel Gray for Monday. It turned out excellent. I will listen to it after we finish recording, Chris. But Angel's such a great person.
I fully believe that it's actually very good. I don't actually think a lot of the things I do were good. Little known fact about me, I don't always like myself. But that episode is pretty good.
I'll gas you up, King. Don't worry.
Oh, and one other thing.
Please give that a listen.
One other thing to plug. Fearlessword.com right now. We're going to do some stuff because we just have nothing else to write about. Well, we're going to answer your mailbag questions in short posts. We're going to just riff them off one by one, answer some of them on the podcast as well. But if you have a question that you would like us to write about at the site or then answer here on the podcast, go to the fearlessword.com. It's going to be pinned on the homepage. Click it. Either put your question in the comments below. Or
Colin is staring directly in your soul in the picture, and JB's looking at Colin, who in turn is looking at you. So yep. I guess they're both looking at you. But go ahead, Chris.
Just judging me for like bad working out habits. Or there's a link to how to submit questions via email, and all that's there. And you know what? Send us some good questions. And the more thoughtful your question, the likelier it gets answered sooner.
Yeah, no, the more thoughtful the question or the more spicy the question, if it's a real brain scratcher, Chris and I will definitely be answering it sooner. But now I'm looking at it right now. We've gotten an overwhelming response thus far, and I am looking forward to hearing from you guys going forward. And just please check that out. Please check out the episode with Angel. We will be on WKYC, and you'll be seeing our ugly mugs. Well, Chris's handsome mug, my ugly mug, every week going forward. Talk about the Cavs, and It'll be more draft heavily focused, as Chris alluded to at the top of the segment.
Yeah, it's going to be a draft focused show because that's kind of the next big thing for the Cavs, and maybe we'll sprinkle in some updates from camps and stuff like that. But that's all coming up here in the feed. Wear a mask, register to vote, listen to Larry Nance, and flame Frank LaRose. Thanks for listening.